I'm Alastair Campbell from The Rest Is Politics.
Nish Kumar here from Pod Save the UK.
And Christiana Figueres from Outrage and Optimism.
Rising inequality, conflict, climate disaster, it's very hard to find reasons to be hopeful about the future.
That's why we're teaming up this September during the 80th General Assembly of the United Nations.
Along with Political Currency, Pod Save the World, The Week Junior, and more.
We'll discuss the stories that give us hope and answer the question, how does hope turn into action?
Look out for the Be Hope Takeover this September.
This is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
I'm John Batchelor. East Asia, the conflict zone, the People's Republic of China, the PLA, Army, Navy, Air Force, and Coast Guard, intimidating Taiwan, now intimidating the Philippines, looking to establish its supremacy in East Asia in order to break out into the Pacific and challenge the U.S., is one version. I welcome Gregory Copley, editor and publisher of Defense and Foreign Affairs, to help me interpret all of these events in these last days from the point of view of what's best for Australia and our allies in the Southern Hemisphere. At the same time, how does Beijing see these events? I'm speaking of the visit, the embassy of Secretary of State Antony Blinken and his colleague, Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin, to Tokyo first and now to Manila. There's a photograph in the New York Times showing the defense minister and foreign minister of Philippines sharing a linking hands with Mr. Austin and Mr. Blinken. And the headline in the New York Times, U.S. pledges $500 million in new military aid to the Philippines as China asserts sea claims. Gregory, I've worked to think strategically, as you've taught me. This looks like a long-legged story. China is not backing off. They continue to intimidate the Philippines, thinking it's going to crack. And now the U.S. is called with money. Is this adequate for the threat? Good evening to you, Gregory.
Good evening, John. Well, it's not adequate to the threat, but the United States has been putting a lot more money into defense installations in the Philippines. So too has Australia, and so has Japan. So the Philippines is becoming much, much more ready in security terms to deal with the People's Republic of China. Of course, it's so close to major People's Liberation Army assets that in the event of a hot conflict, the Philippines would certainly suffer tremendously, but it would have rapid reinforcement and capabilities provided by Japan, the US, Australia, and others. It's in the throes of installing its very, very capable anti-shipping missiles, supersonic BrahMos missiles, which are made in India and Russia and are being installed now in the Philippines, and they've already been installed in Vietnam. So the situation is significant. I don't think also that the PLA or the People's Republic of China response, the Communist Party of China response, has been as strident and as confident as it was attempting to be even months ago. Yes, there have been threats and demands that the West not talk in belligerent terms about an escalated threat and so on. But the reality is that it's sounding more and more hollow from the Chinese point of view. So I think there is a great deal of satisfaction being exhibited within Manila, and particularly by President Ferdinand Marcos Jr., who met with Secretary of State Blinken and Secretary of Defense Austin today, actually, in the Philippines, along with the defense ministers of the Philippines and the foreign minister there. So that's been very positive. What we've seen is a flurry of activity underway, not just the meetings today in the Philippines, in Manila, but also just before that, we saw the bilateral talks, the 2+2, as they're now being called, between the Secretary of State and Secretary of Defense from the U.S. with the Defense Minister and Foreign Minister of Japan in Tokyo, where they not only met with their counterparts, but they also met with the Prime Minister. They also met with South Korean representatives as well. And just before all of that, they met with a lot of the regional players at the ASEAN foreign ministers meeting in Vientiane, Laos. So they had a lot of opportunity for regional interaction. And, of course, the Australians were at those two, particularly the ones in Tokyo, with the Quad. So you had India, Australia, Japan, and the U.S. Coordinating, and Korea being very much apprised, South Korea being very much apprised of an integral to those talks as well. So, frankly, despite the chaos in Washington, and for that matter, the chaos in Beijing, what we are seeing is a much greater coordination on the ground to constrain PLA and PRC growth in the South China Sea and elsewhere in the region. We are seeing now the final, if you like, indications that the PRC and President Xi Jinping are running out of a lot of their bluster.
The ancient warship, 80 years, I believe, at least Sierra Madre, is aground in the Philippine waters, the exclusive economic zone of the Philippines, called Second Thomas Shoals, off of Palawan. It's been there for decades, maybe 80 years or something like that. Sierra Madre is the title. And on board are military representatives of the Philippines. They are the object of the PLA's aggression. Water cannons, ramming, axes used, lots of intimidation. And every now and again, they need to be resupplied for food. And every now and again, they need parts because they live out there to maintain support, to maintain the claim on these shoals are Filipino territory, and you're not going to pick them off like you did Scarborough Shoal. However, recently news came from Manila that there was an agreement between representatives of China and the Philippines that China would continue to resupply food. However, the Philippines said, not parts. You're not allowed to inspect the Sierra Madre. We're not going to depend on you for parts. We'll do it ourselves. You bring the food. And they left it at that. I only mention because there's been no follow-up. Is the Philippines looking for a third way out? Are they looking to get in between these two contestants, the U.S. and China, and asking for everybody to be accommodating to them, or do they understand they're the target? Where is Manila on this?
Well, Manila can't retreat from its position. It does have the World Court at The Hague basically agreeing with its position that this is Philippine territory, and the U.S. and the Philippines have lately been stressing the fact that the international law is on the side of the Philippines. No, I don't think it's the Philippines looking for a compromise. I think it's Beijing looking for a compromise in this situation by offering to, if you like, calm the situation down by helping to resupply the Philippine forces, the few troops who are on the Sierra Madre. So that's a very positive sign. Look, what we're seeing with the PRC is it's showing its teeth where it can. For example, on July 24th, when we saw H-6 strategic bombers of the PLA Air Force, along with Tupolev Tu-95 strategic bombers of the Russian Air Force, working together to penetrate the Alaskan Air Defense Identification Zone. This was highly symbolic. So not that the Russians and the Chinese have not separately penetrated that zone in the past. They have, but this time they did it as a coordinated operation just to show that they could. There was a no-threat situation, although there were very rapid intercepts coordinated by NORAD, the North American Air Defense Command, where F-16s and F-35s from Alaskan U.S. air bases at probably Fairbanks and Anchorage went up and intercepted, along with Canadian FA-18Cs, fairly old intercept aircraft. But they all worked together. They intercepted the Russians and the Chinese aircraft, and that was on us satisfied. So these little gestures which Beijing continues to put up are, I believe, rearguard actions while the PRC decides what it can do, bearing in mind that We had the recent economic gathering in Beijing for the Communist Party of China, coming up with virtually no concrete solutions to its massive political and economic problems, which really puts Xi Jinping on the line, because the situation is getting worse by the day, by the hour in mainland China, not just with the economic plight of the collapsed housing market, the collapsed employment markets and the like, but also through the massive and unprecedented natural disasters which have now wiped out much of the livelihood of so many millions of Chinese and their ability to get food, whether or not they can afford it even. So you've got a dire situation there as well.
Gregory Copley, editor and publisher of Defense and Foreign Affairs, he mentions that the team of bombers from the adversaries were going to NATO on the other side of the world and ask questions about NATO after Ukraine. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batten.
I'm Alistair Campbell from The Rest is Politics.
Nish Kumar here from Pod Save the UK.
And Christiana Figueres from Outrage and Optimism.
Rising inequality, conflict, climate disaster, it's very hard to find reasons to be hopeful about the future.
That's why we're teaming up this September during the 80th General Assembly of the United Nations.
Along with Political Currency, Pod Save the World, The Week Junior, and more.
We'll discuss the stories that give us hope and answer the question, how does hope turn into action?
Look out for the Be Hope Takeover this September.
L-E-T-E-N-E-T. Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.